Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you had a good weekend. Did you enjoy Mother's Day yesterday? Hope you did. So, 2 weekends ago was the Kentucky Derby. And over this past weekend, a week after the Kentucky Derby was over, news broke that the winning horse failed an after-race drug test. The horse was on dope. That's according to officials. Medina Spirit is the horse, and the horse won the Kentucky Derby, and the odds were 12-1. So Medina Spirit wasn't a favorite. I mean, hell, think about it. You bet $100 on that horse, you win, you win $1,200. The trainer of that horse, his name's Bob Baffert. It doesn't get any bigger in horse racing than Bob Baffert. He's already in the horse racing Hall of Fame. Broken all records for trainers who win Kentucky Derbies and other big races. He's denying this. But Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert was suspended by Churchill Downs. That's the name of the track where they run the Kentucky Derby. And he was suspended after his horse, Medina Spirit, failed the post-race drug test. And if the results are upheld, there's a good chance that it will invalidate the victory. Medina Spirit is Bob Baffert's fifth horse to fail a drug test in a year. The hell's he doing? You know, there's only been one time in the history of the Kentucky Derby that a horse who won the race was disqualified after the race for medication. And that happened in 1968 when a horse named Dancer's Image won the race, and then they took it away because they're disqualified for medication. So this has happened one time before at the most famous horse race in our country, if not the world.
I wonder if we're only hearing about this because the horse just happened to win. It makes me wonder how many other horses were doped up, but it didn't really matter whether they failed the drug test after the race because the horse didn't win anyway, so it didn't really matter.
I don't agree. I don't agree, Coleman. You're making it sound like the horses are like so many of the baseball players that were all on steroids, and we only happen to hear about a couple of them, but they were all doing it, or so many of them were doing it back in the day. It wasn't like that. They dope test these horses a lot. And right, especially, I mean, right after the race, they're gonna dope test the horse. Again, this has never happened at the Kentucky Derby since 1968, and that was the only time it's ever happened before. Here's a question I have. So if they invalidate this, What does that mean? I mean, people that were at the race, people that bet on the race, now you're going back 9 days. They already cashed their winning tickets. They got the cash in their pockets and they're long gone. But there's no way that they're gonna say, okay, hey, if you won money betting on that horse, you've got to return that money. That's never gonna happen.
No. But what about the people that lost betting against the?
They're not gonna get money either. If they bet on the horse that came in second, if they do invalidate this, and now the horse who came in second is the one who they're going to say won the Kentucky Derby, if you bet on that horse, what, 9 days later, 10 days later, you're going to get paid? No. Churchill Downs, where they run it, released a statement saying, Churchill Downs will not tolerate it. Given the seriousness of the alleged offense, Churchill Downs will immediately suspend Bob Baffert, the trainer of Medina Spirit, from entering any horse at Churchill Downs Racetrack. To be clear, if the findings are upheld, Medina Spirit's results in the Kentucky Derby will be invalidated and Mandalown will be declared the winner. Mandalown came in second.
So are they going to pay the people that bet on Mandalown more money and not give the money
back?
There's
no way they can do any of that. They're not going to be able to do that. Bob Baffert announced the failed drug test, which he said he will fight tooth and nail. According to Bob Baffert, Medina Spirit was found to have 21 picograms of the steroid betamethasone in a post-race sample, which is double the legal threshold in Kentucky racing. So evidently, whatever dope was in the horse's body, it was legal to have a certain amount of it in there, but evidently there was too much of it in this particular horse's body.
Maybe we've done a story maybe a few months ago about a horse jockey that had more than a legal limit of cocaine in one of his races.
It was over in Europe.
Yeah, it was over in Europe. And he said he went to the pub and he snorted some lines.
Yeah.
But he was over the legal limit of coke, meaning there's an acceptable level of coke that a horse jockey can have when he's racing. So I guess there's an acceptable level of steroids that the horses themselves are allowed to have.
That's what they're saying.
So it's not that they took the steroids or that the horse jockey took the coke. It's just that they went beyond the limit of coke and steroids that they were supposed to have. There's horse dope out there.
Bob Baffert said, quote, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something I didn't do. So he's flat out denying all of this. Bob Baffert said his camp was told of the positive test from the Kentucky officials on Saturday. Medina Spirit has not been disqualified from the Kentucky Derby, but it can still happen after other tests are completed. Bob Baffert said, this shouldn't have happened. There's a problem somewhere. It didn't come from us. What is it? So is he insinuating? Maybe somebody slipped the horse some dope? Wait, somebody slipped him a Mickey?
Or maybe it's a false positive, something like that.
Because a lot of times when you see people, if they freak out somewhere, you know, they'll say, somebody must have put something in my drink. You know, somebody's slipped me a Mickey.
This text says, did they drug test the second place horse after the race?
I think they probably drug test the lot of them. You would have to think.
That's from Charles.
Charles, that's a good question. We always appreciate your texts. 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. If you have any comment or question about this, text us. And keep it short. Put either your first name or a nickname or whatever. You want to get recognized for your text. And if it's good, we will read it coming up on the show. I don't know, other than they strip the championship from Medina Spirit, okay, if they do that, what else is going to happen? I mean, all the money's been paid out. The all the money's been taken in on all the losing horses. And all.
The money is screwed all the way. It's foobar. But you know that you know what this means. That means somewhere out there, there's a laboratory with scientists with bunkers and beakers and chemicals trying to figure out how to make horses faster and better. Like there's probably a dedicated laboratory out there just to make stronger, better, faster horses, and it's selling horse dope to horse jockeys to make their horses faster. Like there's a market out there for that. And then horses get some of the coolest names. I wish you could name people the way we name horses.
Well, Coleman, you know, doing this radio show, as we do weekday mornings, with a bunch of these stories we read, it makes me realize there's a lot of stuff going on in our country that I am completely unaware of. Like people running around with horse dope, sticking it in the horse. Yeah, sticking it in the horses. All right, coming up on the show. Yesterday was Mother's Day, but there's a... I don't know the exact percentage. It can't be a large percentage of Americans. They want to get rid of the word mom. And they want to call moms and mothers birthing people. Because I guess mom isn't fair. This is really this is where we're at. I thought we're supposed to be moving forward as life goes on. Removing the word mom from the lexicon and replacing it with birthing people? That's supposed to be better for us? Stay tuned for that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Led Zeppelin there. I just read over the weekend that there was a Led Zeppelin song. It's a pretty popular song that none of the band really liked. As a matter of fact, the rhythm section, drummer John Bonham and bassist John Paul Jones hated the song. It's the song that if you look at it, it looks like it's pronounced Dire Maker. But that's the way they were saying Jamaica. Jamaica. After the country. They said that the name of the song was wrong. Historians looking at it now, they said that wasn't very politically correct. But they said because it had a little bit of a reggae feel. That's the Led Zeppelin. Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah, we play it every now and then.
You don't have to go. Oh, 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 oh. They never, ever once played that song live when they were out touring. I guess it's a song John Bonham hated because it kind of kept his hands tied. And one of the things Zeppelin was famous for was John Bonham's incredibly aggressive, powerful drumming, the backbone of the band. And on that song, he was kind of, he said his hands were kind of tied, laid back, and said he never really liked that song. Seemed to be a pretty popular Led Zeppelin song. Like you said, Coleman, we play that one here. Hey, you learn something new even all these years later. Go find out. There's a Led Zeppelin song that the band really didn't like, and the other two guys, the two guys who wrote it, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, I guess understood that the other two members of the band were not fans of that song, and they never, ever, ever played it live. Go figure. Hope you had a good Mother's Day weekend. I saw a story, a local story, that happened around here this weekend, and all I could do was scratch my head. A popular Elvis Presley impersonator was murdered late Friday night / early Saturday morning. He's a popular local guy from around here, and he was known, a very well-known Elvis impersonator. A father and son were in custody in New Orleans after the early Saturday morning shooting death of a man described as a well-known Elvis impersonator in Denham Springs. Now, the shooting happened in Livingston Parish, and their sheriff's office said that 28-year-old Trace Peugeot and his 53-year-old father, Tommy Ray Peugeot, were both taken into custody in New Orleans at separate times and are awaiting transportation to Livingston Parish in connection with Jason Baglio. You know, I have a friend who recently saw a show with Jason Baglio as Elvis Presley, an Elvis impersonator. And my friend said, "Hey, you got to come out and see this guy the next time we go out." I said, "Sure." The son, Trace Peugeot, and I mean, it's not very often that A, you see an Elvis Presley impersonator murdered, but B, a father and son together did this, and they got arrested for it? The son, Trace Peugeot, faces several counts, including second-degree murder, while his father, Tommy Ray, who, according to the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, that he was present at the shooting. So evidently, that the father's the one that actually pulled the trigger. He's facing a count of principal to second-degree murder. Again, early Saturday morning, the sheriff's office said their deputies were called, and after reports of shots fired came in around 3:30 in the morning. When deputies arrived, they found the victim, Jason Baglio, with several gunshot wounds at the location, and he died from his injuries. According to deputies, the son, Trace Peugeot, left the scene before they arrived. So I guess when the cops showed up, the father was still there, but the son was gone. But he was later found in New Orleans. I guess so many people get shot in our city here. Even if you're in surrounding parishes, if you shoot somebody, where are you going to go? I'll go to New Orleans.
I'm trying to figure out if there's anything that a person can do so heinously that both me and my father would have to make a plan to get him. Or was the father just trying to be a good father and support his son in whatever he did? So many questions and so many.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I said this has me scratching my head. Jason Baglio, the victim, he performed under the name Jason Alfano, and he was a well-known Elvis impersonator. He was also head chef for the Livingston Council on Aging. So here's a guy that entertained people and then he helped people. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened where a son and a father were talking to each other and said, hey, this Elvis impersonator, he's got to go.
Well, you always say, it's probably have something to do with women or money.
Well, we've always said, you know, when you see shootings, when a guy shoots another guy, it's usually over one of those two reasons. Do you think? I don't want to speculate.
I mean, that's all we can do right now because we don't have that many details. But maybe he swiveled his hips a bit too well, and they made the father and son jealous. I don't know.
Maybe the wife / mother.
All we can do is speculate.
And I don't know, but that's usually the case. It's either over when someone shoots somebody, when two guys get into it and one shoots another, it's usually over either money or a woman. So they don't know much more than that, and they're asking anybody who knows anything to call either the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office or Crime Stoppers. It's just the things you don't see very often. All the things to do with your father. On Mother's Day weekend, no less. All right, coming up on the show. Is social media dividing us as a country? Is it more divisive than on the other end of that coin? And also, since yesterday was Mother's Day weekend, there's a group of people, it can't be that many, but they're making news. They want to replace the term mom with birthing people. Can you believe that? What's wrong with mom? All of these years, all of a sudden they want to get rid of the term mom? Really, mom? I thought we're supposed to get better as time goes on. Stay tuned for those reports and a whole lot more here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. In Grand Prairie, Texas, police busted a cockfighting ring and seized 300 birds. Experts say although cockfighting is illegal in all 50 states, it's still more popular than the WNBA in much of the country. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Because of coronavirus, pretty much all kids in school for at some time or another weren't going to school, and they were learning via Zoom. Teachers were teaching their classes over the internet on Zoom. And I just read where one teacher got caught sucking a topless man's nipple during a Zoom class. Ew. A spicy slip of the tongue led to a Spanish teacher being yanked from her classes after investigators found she performed an inappropriate sexual act during a Zoom lesson. This happened in New York City at a very prestigious grade 6 through 12.
New York City!
School. At the prestigious Columbia Secondary School for Math, Science, and Engineering. Students were remotely watching a live class. 37-year-old Spanish teacher Amanda K. Fletcher appeared to suck the nipple of an unidentified topless male while she rocked her head back and forth, according to the Special Commissioner of Investigation for New York City Schools. Following this act, Ms. Fletcher's face turned in full view of the screen and she gyrated her shoulders and smiled. Before that, students watched her eating spaghetti with the shirtless man behind
her.
Ew,
yuck.
After taking her mouth off the man's chest, the teacher resumed teaching and discussing a worksheet. So she went right from having her lips on this man's nipple. She then turned around and continued to teach the class. Again, this is a very prestigious school in New York City where they teach grades 6 through 12.
Yeah, the name of that school confuses me. You said math, science, and engineering.
Columbia Secondary School for Math, Science, and Engineering.
Who would have known that you needed to learn Spanish or take a Spanish class in the school for math, science, and engineering?
Well, that's what she teaches there, Coleman. And what else is interesting about this, she hasn't lost her job yet. They reassigned her. Last year, she made $105,588. Now, we always hear how teachers don't get paid a lot of money. She is on the New York City payroll. And last year, she made $105,588 as a school teacher at a very, very prestigious school. And this is what she did during one Zoom lesson.
Well, we know this for certain. She does lose her job over the inappropriate act she did on Zoom, clearly knowing that the camera was on because she looked back and started teaching again. She can always do something on OnlyFans. Clearly, she has the potential. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's not shy in front of the camera. So she has a future as an OnlyFans cam girl.
Who knows if she'll be able to pull in $105,588 a year on OnlyFans.
This text says, these teachers out here are some freaks. It's time to do open houses.
I think it's time to get all the kids, all the students back into the classrooms if they're not there already.
I mean, you think it's going to be any different in the classrooms? I mean,
that kind of thing doesn't happen in a classroom.
Yeah, but we
just
did a story last week about a lunch lady taking these kids from school to the house to have booze and parties and porn parties and stuff.
Terrible in Paris, yeah. That happening.
So whether that is
lunch lady sex.
Yeah.
Sex with the lunch lady.
So it's either on Zoom or it's at the lunch lady's house. You pick your poison over here.
How about that? And that is one of New York City's highest performing schools. And she's been a teacher there for a while.
Ugh.
It'd be interesting. You're one of these kids in class and all of a sudden you see your teacher doing that. And then she goes right from doing that. Hey, let's get back to the lesson here.
I'm going to turn to page 6.
Yeah.
¿Tú hablo español? ¿Cómo estás? Muy bien.
Coming up on the show, a new poll was just taken. I found this very interesting. And the question that was asked in this poll is social media, Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram, is social media divisive? Has social media made the United States a more divisive place? I don't think there's any doubt about the answer to that question. Do you?
I have some theories.
Stay tuned. That's next. here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Do you think social media makes our country a more divisive place? A new poll was just taken by NBC News. 66% of those adults polled, first and foremost, said that they log into social media at least once a day, while 33% don't. Both Coleman and I log into social media more than once a day because we have to for our radio station. We both put up stuff on the Bayou 95.7 Facebook page every hour.
Yep, and then I have to do Instagrams and Twitters and stuff, so I'm all over the place.
Yeah, so we have to do it for our work. And I'll be honest with you, if I didn't have to be on Facebook every day, I wouldn't. And I know that for a fact. Because before I started doing this job at Bayou, when I was off the radio and doing a couple of other things for a little while, I wasn't on Facebook hardly at all. Checked in once in a while, but and I've always said, you know, you go back 10, 11, 12 years, whenever Facebook got big, it was right around that time, it was fun. But it hasn't been nearly as much fun these last few years because of all of the political correctness, the cancel culture. And how many times have we done stories on this show of people losing their jobs, their relationships because of things they've posted, things they've done on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, go on and on.
See, I'm glad you made that point. You said two things. You said once, before you got back in the radio, you wasn't on social media, right? You pretty much checked in every once in a while. When you did that, did things seem more peaceful for you? Like, were things going better, like, perspective-wise?
It's just I didn't feel like spending my time doing that anymore. Right. I had done it for several years and had some fun with it, but to me, no. When I was off the radio, I was pretty much off social media, and I was just spending my time doing other things. I didn't miss it.
Because one of my hypotheses is the people that believe that social media is dividing the country are those that are into social media. Most people who aren't on social media all day, every day, they don't have that perception like, oh, the country's going to hell in a handbasket. It's just those that are really tuned in and deep dive, and they go into social media. They're on there all the time. They're always commenting. They're always going to other people's pages and commenting. Like, those people who are into social media like that, they have the perception that it's the most divisive time in American history because they're always on it, and it's like an echo chamber.
It is like an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question NBC News asked in this poll of American adults, do you log into social media at least once a day? 66% said yes, 33% said no. So that means that's 99%. The other 1% said, what's social media? 64% of Americans said they believe social media do more to divide the country. And what's interesting about that is 77% of those were Republicans and 65% of independents. And it was 54% of Democrats who said that social media divides the country, is divisive. And only 27% of those polled think social media platforms do more to unite the country. I think the best part about Facebook is you can keep family, friends. You can. It's a place for all of those folks. And you could see how their lives are going, and that's cool. Personally, I never really used Facebook for that. I've always used it for the radio show. And so, like I said, I mean, I don't know 90% of the people who I'm Facebook friends with, but I've always used it for the radio show. I think the one great thing about Facebook is it can keep family and friends connected, and you can hook up with friends you haven't seen in years, and you can find them there, and that's all well and good. Now, Twitter is something totally different. Twitter is basically a sewer or a cesspool that I think celebrities and news and sports people who have jobs in the news world and in the sports world, I think it's important for them to get news out there, to get sports out there, sports news and such. And then celebrities, they let you know how they feel about certain things. You know, before Twitter, people never were able to get that close to a celebrity, to a famous person.
Right.
And now you could say that some of your favorite movie stars or athletes or whatever, you follow them on social media, and it makes people feel like they're a little bit closer to them.
And it makes you closer to those that you don't like, too, because most people use Twitter to crap on people they don't like than to praise them. But when it comes to social media, is social media divisive, in my opinion? No, it's the people that engage in politics on social media. Those are the only ones complaining. When you think about the divisiveness on social media, it's those, like you said, the Democrats, the Republicans, and independents and all that. Those who engage in politics, those are the ones causing the divide. And if you go on social media just to engage in political discourse, it's going to seem to you that the world is divisive because you go on there to engage in the tribalism. But everyone else who just goes on Facebook to look at cat videos and hang out, like you said, keep in touch with their friends, like the other percentage of people who don't engage in political discourse, social media is just fine to them. It's not social media itself. It's what you use it for. So if you go on there, you know, just to argue and see stuff and, you know, put your ideas out there and argue with other people who don't share your ideas, of course, in your perspective, this is the most divisive time in the world. Everybody hates it. No, it's just that section, that small section of people who use social media for that, it seems divisive to them. Everyone else who uses it for cool stuff like TikTok videos and all these crazy challenges and funny videos, they love social media, and they don't feel like it's dividing.
Some of my Facebook friends are very divisive because everything they post has to do with politics, and that makes it divisive. You're never going to change anybody's mind.
Right.
I mean, that's why the echo chamber is a good analogy. I mean, when people make these long political posts, who do you think you're talking to? You're not going to change someone who's on the other side of the political aisle. And if that person even happens to see what you write, you're not going to change their mind. The sentiment against social media giants appears to be hardening. 57% of the folks in this NBC poll, the Americans responding to the same question last year, said that social media platforms were more divisive, and 35% said they were more uniting. So as time is going on, you're seeing the sentiment against the social media giants hardening.
That's because recently social media has begun to start to ban and block political course. So once like Facebook and all that start blocking stories or start putting people in Facebook jail for political posts, and when social media got more intrusive when it comes to the political discourse that was already happening between the users, that's when it got even more divisive because now they're adding more fuel to the fire. I'm trying to show my opinion, but look, the bias against my opinion, they blocked me and they put me in Facebook jail and all that. So that's adding more gasoline to something that's already, you know, a dumpster fire.
And how about all the people that I've seen, at least in my Facebook friends, that when they are put in Facebook jail and then they get out, it's a big deal. And hey, I'm out. I'm out of Facebook jail. And a lot of people react to it. And finally, among the Americans who use social media every day, according to this NBC poll, 49% say it makes their lives better. 37% of Americans who use social media every day said it makes their lives worse. So then why would they continue to use it?
Maybe because they have to. How many times have we put something on a Bayou Facebook page and it's just a harmless meme, then somebody posts a comment and it all goes to crap? It's like, oh, like we might post a meme about a cat doing something, then somebody posts, oh, that cat must be a Democrat or something crazy like that, then all of a sudden the political thread starts. And it's like, how did they bring this cat video that we put up there and threw politics into it? And it kind of makes the job frustrating because you and I, we have to think every day about what we post on. Before we put something on Facebook page, we really have to sit there and think, like, should we post this? What's going to happen? What are they going to say? What are the comments are going to, you know?
Oh, there are things, Coleman, that I posted years ago that I would never, ever, ever post today.
And how many times have we posted something in our program, director took it down?
And we have that. That still happens.
Yeah. So I can see how it could be frustrating if you have to use social media and you're trying to do your job, but then social media commenters, they ruin it for everybody else.
Hey, but we're always putting, well, at least I know I am, and Coleman, we're always putting things on the Bayou Facebook page every hour that we think you'll find entertaining, at least. And so be a part of our radio station on Facebook if you're so inclined, if you like that. Text us. Do you agree with this poll? Do you think that social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that, do you think it has made the United States a more divisive place? Sure. Or do you disagree with that? Text us 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep your text short. If it's good, we will read it coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Today is National Shrimp Day. Its purpose is to raise awareness of Tom Cruise. Coming up next, your text on the question, is social media making the United States a more divisive country? That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. If you're just joining us, we were talking about a poll that NBC just took, and they asked a few questions about social media. They wanted to know, do you think social media has made the United States more divisive? Again, the first thing they asked was, do you log into social media at least once a day? 66% said yes, they do. 33% said no, they don't. But 64% of Americans said they believe social media do more to divide the country. And out of those people, 77% of them were Republicans who feel that way. 65% of independents feel that social media divides the country. And 54% of Democrats feel that way.
But see that? Even that poll is based on politics. They didn't ask the poll based on do males or females feel like social media, or they didn't go by race, they didn't go by sexual orientation. They went straight to political polls, which shows you that the most people that feel like social media is divisive are those who use social media for political discourse. See what I mean?
Yeah, and Coleman, one of the most interesting questions, they asked those who do log into social media at least once every day. They say, does social media make your life better or worse? 49% said it makes their lives better. 37% said it makes their lives worse. So you've got, that's a large amount of people, 37%. And they're logging on to social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and whatever. And it's making their lives worse, and they're doing it every day.
I have two theories. One, maybe they have to because of their job. We have to post on Facebook every now and then. Or, and two, there's what they call, like, right when social media got big was social media envy, where people would see other people live their lives, like the best times of their lives, going on vacations, eating the best food, and they would have social media envy because they felt like their lives couldn't stack up to what they saw on social media.
I know you would wish that people would post the absolute truths about their lives on social media. Some do, yeah, and it's a train wreck. Some of my Facebook friends, I mean, watching their lives is like a train wreck. But then you've got people who pretty much literally live their lives on Facebook. Every little thing they do, everywhere they go, the most basic piece of minutia, and there it is. This is what happened to me today. And, again, when Facebook started, what was it, 11 or 12 years ago, that's when it got really big. It was fun. But as time has gone on, because of political correctness and because of the cancel culture, it's not nearly as fun as it used to be. So I asked you, if you're listening, text us 504-260-9595. Keep it short. Do you agree that with the majority of the people polled that social media has made the United States a more divisive place? I think there's no doubt about it. Absolutely.
I disagree. I'll tell you why later. Redbird says, social media by design is absolute divisive. Check out The Social Dilemma on Netflix. It's very enlightening. The thing is, I don't think when they designed Twitter and they designed MySpace, they designed it purposely to be divisive. Casey says, as long as the media and social media favor one political side over the other, it will continue to divide us. Once again, divided by politics. You said one political side. So it makes me wonder if Facebook never, you know, showed any favoritism to any political party whatsoever and let people do whatever they want, post whatever they want without blocking anything, will we know the difference?
Well, it's a good question. If politics were removed from social media,
or if social media platforms remove their political bias from it, would it make a difference? Like, let the users post what they want to post politically, but Facebook and Twitter, Instagram didn't say anything either way. Just let people, would it be social media being divisive, or would it be the people being divisive? This says 100% more divisive. I've seen it happen again and again on social media platforms. I eschew this crap now. Telephone calls and text messages are the only thing he does.
And look, I have some Facebook friends who pretty much everything they post is divisive. I mean everything they post. Coleman, you and I have a mutual Facebook friend named Scott. I mean, he posts the rudest.
Yes, he does that on purpose, though.
Personally,
he does that on purpose.
Personally, I get a kick out of it.
We call him Crap Post Scott.
But if I ever posted some of the stuff that he posts, I'd probably lose my job here. Again, personally, I get a kick out of it. And I've got some Facebook friends, all they post is politics. That's all they post. And
even if it has nothing to do with politics, they'll post a political comment under something.
Yeah, and that's the worst. If you put something up, post something that has nothing to do with politics, and then someone on the thread underneath it then brings up politics. It's like, it had nothing to do with that. But then I have a lot of Facebook friends. They don't talk about any of that stuff. It's just here's my family, pictures, friends, this is what we're doing, and here's life.
Sorry, real quickly, Market Manager says, the individuals that use Facebook to play politics are the ones making it less fun. And I have to agree with that. So here's why I don't think social media is making the United States more divisive. Because we've literally had times in our United States history where the country was literally divided when the Confederacy separated from the Union and we had a civil war. I think that's the most divisive.
Pretty divisive. Civil war, pretty divisive.
After that, there was segregation where one race literally had to separate themselves from another. They couldn't use the same buildings. They couldn't use the same water fountain. So as long as there was a civil war and there was segregation, no, we are not at all the most. This is not the most divisive the country has ever been. And social media is not making it more divisive. It seems that way based on what you get out of social media. If you go to the crap post and you go to the political post and that's all you surround yourself with, like you said, if all your friends talk about politics and argue, it just seems that way to you. But there was a time where the country was literally divided.
Thank you for the text. We appreciate it as always, and we always welcome your text to our show, no matter what we're talking about. And please never text while you're driving. That Chinese rocket landed over the weekend. It landed in the Indian Ocean, which makes sense since 70% of the Earth's surface is water. So it landed in the Indian Ocean. We were telling you, keep your eyes up towards the sky this weekend because there's a rocket that Communist China fired off, and it's heading towards the Earth. But it landed in the Indian Ocean, so it didn't hit Bogalusa or Houma or any place like that. So that was some good news. Coming up next, we've got a couple of See Who Dies here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You see who died? Got two people to report on. Tawny Kitaen died over the weekend. Tawny Catane is best known as the woman in those two Whitesnake videos. Here I Go Again and Is This Love. She was best known as the very attractive woman who was crawling around on top of the hood of the car in the Whitesnake video. But what's interesting about Tawny Catane, she grew up in San Diego. And when she was in high school, she started dating a guy in high school named Robin Crosby. Robin Crosby, after he left high school, went up to Los Angeles from San Diego, and he formed the band Rat. He's one of the guitar players. She followed him up there, and she was actually on the first Rat album cover. And she was crawling around on the album cover, too. She was very good at crawling. And what's interesting about her being on the Out of the Cellar album cover for Rat, Coleman, the guys in Rat said that when they were taking the pictures for that album cover, somebody actually threw a few rats, real rats, at Tawny Catane. I think it made her crawl faster. But she did that. And again, she became best known for those Whitesnake videos. I think, I don't want to say that's what's on her tombstone, because I mean, the poor woman just died, but she was also in a movie that I liked a lot, the old Tom Hanks movie, Bachelor Party. She was in that movie too. And after her and Robin Crosby broke up, I mean, she was a really good-looking woman. She was with different guys. But she married former Major League Baseball pitcher Chuck Finley. And when they got divorced, he said he had to divorce her because she was attacking him with her high heel shoes, hitting him in the face. And that she had some issues with drugs, substance abuse. She did have some issues, but she was only 59 years old when she died over the weekend. And that kind of stunk, but...
So she was like our generation's Alicia Silverstone was in those Aerosmith videos. She was just in all the, like, best, because that's how I remember Alicia Silverstone from Aerosmith. That's how I recognized that she was in all of them. Damn.
Yeah, yeah. Alicia Silverstone came a few years after Tawny Catane.
Right. For that generation's Alicia Silverstone. All right, cool.
Yeah, and it doesn't say how she died, but boy, I mean, when you think about that, when I saw that news, Tawny Catane died at 59 years old.
That's young.
Over the weekend. Well, yeah, and it makes you think of your youth. I mean, everybody remembers her from those videos. I mean, she was the first video vamp.
I thought she was going to go with Video Vixen. But okay.
Or Video Vixen. I was thinking of that Def Leppard song. Like a video vamp. But she was the first video vixen. So Tawny Catane died over the weekend. And one other person... You see who died? A guy from Kenner who was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His name's Lloyd Price. Again, he's a native of Kenner. He rose to the top of the music charts in the 1950s with the hit songs Laudy Miss Claudy, Personality, and Stagger Lee. In 1952, the then 19-year-old Lloyd Price was working out a new song on the piano at his mother's restaurant in Kenner when he caught the eye and ear of legendary local band leader and talent scout Dave Bartholomew. Now, Dave Bartholomew, he's still alive. And he was the guy that worked with Fats Domino. He produced and wrote with Fats Domino so many of those Fats Domino hits. So Dave Bartholomew, I guess, happened to be in Kenner one day in 1952, and he was hungry. And he went into a restaurant, and he saw this 19-year-old guy working out a new song on his mother's on the piano in his mother's restaurant. And then the next thing you know, Lloyd Price found himself in Cosmo Matassa's J&M studio on North Rampart Street. We've talked about that place before on the show. You talk about a historical place in the world of music. So many legendary songs and performers recorded in that studio back in the day on North Rampart Street. I mean, including Little Richard and so many of the New Orleans music legends. That's where he recorded the song Lottie Miss Claudie with none other than Fats Domino on piano and Earl Palmer on the drums, another legendary New Orleans musician. That song became an immediate hit. It sold a million copies, and it spent 7 weeks atop the Billboard's R&B charts.
So it went platinum.
Yes. The song's success would also mark the start of a career with 15 top 10 R&B hits, rhythm and blues hits, including those other ones I mentioned, Personality and Stagger Lee.
I did not know the guy who was responsible for Stagger Lee was from Kenner.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of spinoffs of that Stagger Lee song came about ever since. It's like a whole tradition. Different genres covered that song. It was even featured in Black Snake Moan with Samuel Jackson and I think her name's Christina Ricci. They did a rendition of Stagger Lee on that movie as well, directed by Craig Brewer.
Well, Coleman, the phenomenal success of Miss Claudie in 1952 shocked Lloyd Price himself. He was said to have been inspired to write the song because of the catchphrase of James Okie Dokie Smith, who was a disc jockey at WBOK Radio here in New Orleans, where Lloyd Price worked and hung out. That DJ would proclaim Lottie Miss Claudie as part of his on-air banter. And Price later told the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, quote, "It was 2 weeks. The record had been playing on the radio. I'm hearing it every day. And my brother, my elder brother said, ain't no other Lloyd Price in Kenner. They keep saying Lloyd Price. Is that you?" So his brother's listening to the radio with him. And he's like, yeah, that's... And then Lloyd Price said, "I think so." He said, "I had never heard myself. I never heard nothing about a microphone." And a week or so later, the world just blew loose. He like, became huge. So, how about that? Lloyd Price from Kenner had some hit songs in the 1950s. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He died over the weekend at the age of 88. Well, he lived a lot longer than Tawny Kitaen did. So, very rarely, I think, have we ever done two See Who Dieds back to back, but sometimes I was gonna say we had to knock two of them off at once, but that already happened. So hey, coming up on the show, I've got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this has to do with Mother's Day yesterday. Stay tuned for that. I got a few other things I got to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Last week on the show, we told you about Adam Sandler going into an IHOP restaurant on Long Island. And there was about a 30-minute wait. And the young woman who was working at the front of the restaurant didn't recognize Adam Sandler. And she said, hey, it's a 30-minute wait. You leave your name. And then he just left. And it made big news. People were talking about it. And Coleman and I asked, well, what if she did know who he was? Suddenly there's a table? Suddenly that's open? Well, the young woman felt bad about it. Adam Sandler had some laughs about it. Well, I got some new news out of that story. IHOP has responded to the Adam Sandler jilt by offering him all-you-can-drink milkshakes.
So are they going to do that for everybody that had to wait 30 minutes?
No.
See?
The all-you-can-drink milkshakes are only available at IHOP's 19 Long Island, New York locations. So next time he goes into an IHOP on Long Island, even though he's worth a couple hundred million dollars, a few hundred million dollars, they're going to give him free milkshakes.
See, but they should give everybody milkshakes that had to wait 30 minutes. It shouldn't be just because he's Adam Sandler, because everybody had to wait the same 30 minutes. So everybody should get the milkshakes.
You're right about that, Coleman. Hey, coming up next on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. That's pretty dumb. What I'm going to tell you next is dumber. I mean, I couldn't believe it was real, and it has to do with Mother's Day yesterday. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Some Americans think it's wrong to use the term mom, and they want to replace that with birthing people.
Say what?
I said, Coleman, there are some Americans who don't think mom is fair. And we heard a lot about this over the weekend, Mother's Day being yesterday. And they say birthing people is more inclusive. And I know why they're doing this. Because not everybody's a mom. And there are some women, well, they're born female, but they want to be men so they can still give birth, even though they have beards on their faces. They can still give birth, but they don't want to be called mom.
That sounds like a personal issue within your household. If you're one of these women with a beard that gave birth to a kid and you don't want the kid to call you mother, then you should just tell your kid not to call you mother. You shouldn't make it a whole thing where everybody has to conform to how you think it should go, right?
That's how some people are. They don't think the term mom is inclusive. It doesn't include everybody. You know,
It's not. There's a definition to the word mother. It excludes fathers.
And there's a mindset, Coleman, with some people in this country. It's not a huge percentage, but it's a big enough percentage where we're talking about it and it's making news, where they believe everybody is equal. Everybody should be included in everything. And this life isn't like that. You're not going to find a bigger football fan than me. But I don't get anything out of the NFL. I don't get any money out of it. They don't give me anything. And you're not going to find someone who loves it more than me. But why can't I be included? I love the NFL. Why can't I get free jerseys and free food and free tickets? And when I go to the games, free beer and free food. Why can't?
But even beyond that, the word mom, the word mother is exclusive because it has a specific definition. A mother is not a son. A son is not a daughter. A mother is not a father. They are exclusive. They're not supposed to be inclusive. They're supposed to identify a specific person or position. So, yes. It doesn't encompass everybody because a mother isn't everyone. A mother is a mother.
Congresswoman Cori Bush She's a Democrat from Missouri. She has emphasized the term birthing people in recent days. She just said on Thursday on Twitter, this is what she, this is a United States Congresswoman. She wrote, every day, black birthing people and our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. My children almost became a statistic. I almost became a statistic. I testified about my experience. Hear us, believe us, because for so long, nobody has. So she tweeted that, and she, again, the first sentence in that tweet, every day black birthing people and our babies die.
So she wants to use birthing people because it's more inclusive, but then she specifies the race or the color of the birthing person, making it also non-inclusive because the word black doesn't include all colors. See, it's the mental gymnastics you have to do to make this make sense. And then the term birthing person is still exclusive because it doesn't include people who can't give birth and have kids, like foster parents or surrogate parents, you know? This is making my brain hurt.
Some group called NARAL, N-A-R-A-L, posted on its official Twitter account Thursday. When we talk about birthing people, we're being inclusive. It's that simple. We use gender-neutral language when talking about pregnancy because it's not just cisgender women that can get pregnant and give birth. Again, they're talking about the women who want to be men, but they can still give birth, even though...
I get it, but it's dumb. It's...
So they want to erase the term mom
and
mother because it's not inclusive to everyone. Well, it's not inclusive to me either.
It's not supposed to be inclusive. It's a specific definition. Like there's a difference between a car and a truck and a van. We're not just going to call it, well, you could just say, yeah, this all-encompassing, you can call those vehicles, but they all have a specific function. That's why they have a specific definition of a truck can't do what a minivan does, and a minivan can't do what a car does, because they're all different vehicles. A mother is different from a father. There's a reason why we call them mothers.
And they would tell you, hey, it's not mother, it's a birthing person.
If a person wants to be called a birthing person, that person should say, call me a birthing person, not make everyone in the world be called a birthing person because they don't like to be called a birthing person.
So again, they're doing this for one reason and one reason only. They're using the term birthing people instead of mother because it's those born women who want to be men and they want to live their lives as men, yet they can still give birth. How dare you call them a mother if they are living their lives as a man?
But doesn't that sound inhumane? It sounds like a robot. It sounds like a subject. It sounds like something you build, a birthing person. It takes all the humanity out of what a mother is, a birthing person. It's so soulless when you say it that way. And I don't even believe people have souls, but still, when you say a birthing person, it takes all the humanity, all the emotion, all the value out of it, and it's like a designation. It's like saying you're a plumber or an engineer. You're a birthing person. Like, this is your job, and there's no beauty involved in it. There's no color involved in it. There's no nuance involved in it. It's just your job is to give birth.
Mm. Well, anyways, there's a small percentage of Americans who want to replace the term mom, mother, with birthing people because they want to be inclusive to everybody. That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning.
Think about that. That's just dumb.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.